Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike, next to Johnny, and over here to my side here, we have Mike A. Well, I'm not going to tell you what he is. He's a reseller, and he's kind of going to just take us away, what he sells, what he does, part-time, full-time. Is he making any money? So, Mike, welcome to the podcast. Appreciate you coming on this morning and hanging out with me and Johnny. Take us away, Mike.
Hey, thank you. Yep, I am a toy seller. That does include toys, dolls, plush. I like, you know, all of those. I've been reselling in some capacity for probably 7-8 years, all kinds of things. I've shipped accordions on eBay and baseball bats and all of that, but finally found my home in toys. And I've got a pretty good business doing toys, and they're plentiful in my area. And it's, you know, it's not a passion of mine, but I do, you know, I have my old 80s vibes as a kid. I like the Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters and things from that era. So it makes it a little bit more enjoyable than, like, say, laying out a shirt or a pair of jeans or something like that. So kind of a plus there. And full time,
eBay or Amazon? Do you sell on Amazon at all? I know a lot of people kind of, everybody's scared of Amazon, but what's that look like for you?
I was an Amazon seller who moved over to eBay, basically. I was a seller on Amazon back in the wild, wild west days, heating up the stickers on the clearance items and peeling them off, chasing around like extreme bolos. Definitely the wild, wild west days of Amazon. I was there for a long time. My biggest success with Amazon over time, I created a private label type bundle, which ironically ended up being in the toy category. When I first did Amazon, I would do anything that made a buck. So lotion and health and beauty and toys and just anything. It was always just the flip game. I eventually made a toy product type bundle where I basically took a bunch of products, got them into one box, made a name for the box, and started to do really well. It ended up getting picked up by like a creator on TikTok, and it was getting like 3 to 4 million views because of this guy, not really necessarily because of my product, but he was already a big creator. And that thing went really crazy. We would hit like a 5,500 rank in the toy category in December. So if you can imagine, I mean, I was ripping through those things. I wasn't rich yet, but I was doing good. And then COVID happened. I had a bundle that required multiple pieces, mostly coming from China. And the complication of that bundle was I was dealing with like 3 to 4 different, more than that, probably 5 different wholesalers, Rhode Island, Utah, New York, some of them coming off guys from eBay, different product. And when COVID hit, they started putting inventory restrictions in, and they started looking at, they did not look at seasonality. So I had a toy product that needed 5 times as much product in November and December. And they gave me this weird baseline number, and they started restricting how much I could send in.
Yep.
That paired up with a bunch of ships being stuck at ports that were coming from China. And I basically had to dissolve that product. Amazon kind of did not help me too much in that regard. I mean, I'm not an Amazon hater. I think it's an incredible platform, and I'm looking to maybe play around with it a little bit more. I still have my account. But I took a pretty big blow, mostly due to the COVID. And that was kind of the end of that product because I couldn't keep it put together. You know, too many components. It was like a two-item bundle, but this was, to be honest, we called it a 35-piece bundle. Some of them were like multi-quantities of a little thing in there. But anyways, so I've done books on Amazon as well. But now I am 100% focused on toys on eBay, and I've been doing that for couple of years now.
So I know Michael a bit. We're in the same group. He actually runs the Toy Call in Tech and Sports Reseller Greatness podcast. And I've attended that call quite a bit. And I was telling Michael before we started recording here, back in the day when I was an everything seller and I was trying to narrow down to a niche, it was a coin flip between toys and media. It really was. And I was attending both calls on a regular basis. But my decision to do media and books, as you all know me, is the book guy, one of the book guys now. Was solely based off toys just weren't in my area in abundance. So I was like, well, I guess the choice was made for me. So I segued into books. And again, it's not a regret. It was just I really wanted to do both, but it wasn't feasible the way I was trying to do my business model unless I decided to move. And I didn't want to move, and I still kind of don't want to move.
All right, so we'll bug him about how he gets his toys because I see a lot of toys. Unlike, I mean, Johnny's out in the middle of nowhere, but I have a lot of mom and pops that do like I don't know. The toys are basically a quarter, 50 cents, or they got like the bags of toys. That's kind of like the big thing you see on like resale on YouTube is like, look at this bag of Pokemon cards or bag of Skylanders or something like that. Like now we're gonna figure out. Listen, you don't got to give away all your secret sauce, but help us along here. How do you source your toys? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, great question. And I think in most, yeah, I don't know exactly where Johnny's at, but you're saying it's a little more rural or smaller area. Most American cities, toys should be plentiful, especially because the way kids go through them. I have a daughter, and you watch them. They're like into this thing for 5 months, and you're buying all this stuff from Target, and then you're like, wait, you're not into that anymore. And that stuff just keeps getting donated. And parents get overwhelmed by these things piling up. It's just constantly donated. So yeah, the bags are fun. The bags are good. These bags that you'll see at Savers or Goodwill or whatever, generally not a lot of cohesiveness. There's someone in the back kind of piling things in bags, $3.99, $5.99. Because things are donated somewhat in a cohesive manner, sometimes the person will see, like, oh, it's all dinosaurs that came in, and they will keep them kind of cohesive. So thrift stores is a huge yes. Because when you're looking at one of these bags, you typically can identify a figure in the bag that's 20, 30, 40 bucks. And then you have all that extra stuff, which can be put into lots, or maybe you get two or three pieces in there. But the game with the thrift stores is definitely you have to know your stuff. You have to kind of research and know what's good, or just touch a lot of stuff. And a lot of way I've learned is just by looking things up all the time. You can Google Lens through the clear plastic bag. It is a pain in the butt, but you can basically turn the bag around, stretch it out, and be like, what is this guy? And use your Google Lens and ID items through the bag. And then, check the solds on eBay and go, okay, this one guy's selling for 25 bucks. The bag is $3.99. And cool, I got all this other stuff. So that's one way I source, definitely in that bag method. Most toy stores will have stuff that's just too big for the bag. So you'll go in the thrift store and you'll kind of scan the shelves. And that's always a faster because you kind of boom, you'll grab like a briar horse will be up there because it's big. And those are quick snags. So usually like open shelves, once you get good and you've sold a whole bunch of toys, you normally grab things quick that are loose. Plush is kind of the same way. Just big items that you're shifting through and moving and moving and got to dig deep always, like with plush, and always got to dig. And a lot of people don't, and that's where they miss because a lot of people also hide things. So I find a lot of the toy bags that are supposed to be hanging, like buried down in the plush. So yeah, thrift store is Game on, always incredible. It's very easy for me. I was at thrift store just the other day. I was probably in there 20 minutes, and I essentially had like a half cart full in like
Nice.
20 minutes. I was doing a Facebook Marketplace pickup, which will lead me into my next way to source. And I had time in between. I was like, let me run in this thrift store. And I just crushed it. I think my spend was 109 and change. Cart was half full. And because I practice and I do this a lot, it's a lot of just boom, boom, boom. We're not even looking at comps anymore. And then some stuff I'm looking at comps. So, yeah. So thrift stores should be on everybody's list to source toys. But if you are in a rural area or you only got one or two little thrifts and they don't do the toy bags, they still should have toys, but they might not be in that format. Maybe they just pile them around. I don't know how they do it, but
You're
Facebook Market.
describing it correctly, and yes, I live in a rural area. It's
Yeah.
exactly how you just described it. It's maybe four shelves.
Yeah. So that can be tough. Like for me, I'm in Boulder here today. That's where I've got my little office, but basically Boulder, Denver Metro. If you look at Denver, excuse me, there's just, I mean, I could probably type in Google like thrift store and there's 15 in 15 minutes. So I'm going to have that advantage here. So you can just hit tons of them. So unfortunately for, again, Johnny mentioned I'm in Tech's group. Tech is a great mentor of mine, and one of his pieces of advice is looks like you have to drive further.
Yeah.
Some of us, because most of us, if we're in a,
True.
we might be in a rural area, but many of us are 2 hours from the big city.
Yeah.
Well, no excuses. You got to get driving. You can do online arbitrage. We'll talk about that. I don't do a lot of that. Facebook Marketplace, probably pretty good for a rural person because you can narrow it down just to your area. That's a beautiful thing about Facebook Marketplace. You can drag that little bubble. You can put in your zip code and set yourself up, and you can go wide or you can go close. I'll narrow mine down close when I know I have a lot of stuff to do, but maybe I want to jut out and I'll periodically look throughout the day and I know, hey, if anything does pop up, it's something I can get to without destroying my day. Other days where I got all my listings done in my head, I'll go wide. Hey, today I could go an hour if something amazing pops up. Facebook Marketplace is absolutely incredible. The algorithm, I don't know what it is or how it works, but if you regularly search G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, all these terms, you can also save them and be notified. I don't really have success with the notifications, more so, it just puts it in front of my face. What to be successful, to truly be a successful, like, toy flipper, and if you want G.I. Joes and you want to turn like 200 into 600 kind of margins, and get like these huge G.I. Joe lots that are underpriced or Ninja Turtles, I personally think you need to be on this like every 20 minutes throughout the entire day. Those deals in this kind of area, they do not last. I had a Pokemon card, which I don't do a lot of, but this guy had like 100 pounds of bulk Pokemon card and it was free. And I have a flea market vendor, which will go to flea markets after Facebook Marketplace. By the time I got to his house, which was about an hour period, he had told me he had 92 messages. Pokemon is a massively hot category, but usually, if I'm buying G.I. Joes that are massively underpriced, there's already people backdooring me, there's already people offering more. If it's too low, it's you got to be fast and you got to be personable. I talked about it in the call. Like you have to separate yourself. If the guy's got a G.I. Joe lot for 200, it's going to be worth 600 in auction. How do you stand out? And it's a lot of it's just firm, clear. I have cash. I can come now. I can be there in 15 minutes. I can be there in 20 minutes. A lot of people lose out on Facebook because they're just sleepy. Like, oh, like, can I come after work or can you hold them till tomorrow? You can't
I
do
got
that.
a great idea for you, Mike. So to
Yeah,
be more personable, you could do a photo shoot and dress up as a G.I. Joe one day, right? Then you can dress up as a Ninja Turtle. So
yeah.
when you message these people, you can be like,
Oh my God, I'm the biggest G.I. Joe fan. Look, here's a picture of me dressed up as a G.I. Joe or Michelangelo. Then they can't deny you at that point when you're sitting there in full G.I. Joe gear. I mean, then you're just in automatically. They don't even want your money. They're just like, come dress as the G.I. Joe and take it all.
Yeah, no, though, and that's probably a little exaggerative, right? But it's like, you're right. You kind of do something that makes this guy, okay, this guy's like a crazy G.I. Joe guy. Like, I'll just let him have it. But I ironically said that to the one guy I saw. He had a post for G.I. Joe, and then I kind of looked through his other posts, and he had like a Star Wars post, and it had some kind of corny, like, may the force be with you at the end of his, like, and I said, okay, this guy's kind of got a little sense of humor. So I was like, as soon as he started saying, like, well, what will you offer? I was like, what do you mean, will you offer? The ad says 125 or whatever it was. He was already getting, like, trying to put me in a bidding war. I was like, what will I offer? And I kind of joked. I said, well, I'll offer what you asked for, right? Isn't that what the price is? And I said, look, if I get it for that price, I'll find a pair of G.I. Joe boots and put them on and wear them on over, you know, or something weird like that. And it made him kind of chuckle. And he goes, oh, it's too hot for boots. And like, that was it. The deal was locked. So sometimes you got to say weird stuff. I leverage my daughter. Like, if I'm trying to get 100 littlest pet shops, I might not white lie much, but I'll say, my daughter and I will be there at noon. I mean, that helps, right? Because it's easier than being like, this 40-year-old guy's going to come over, you know, and resell these tomorrow for three times the amount. So that little leverage can help. But being human and being fast, and I just don't think people always get that with Facebook Marketplace. They're real sleepy. Oh, will you do, you know, the G.I. Joes are already $400 underpriced, and someone's going to message, well, will you do 100? That person's doomed. Because whatever the asking price is, I'm going to pay. If you're telling me, which unfortunately this guy was, like, someone already bid this, a lot of times I'm annoyed by that. I might play the game a little. Look, I'll go 250. I was just trying to pay what you're asking. I'm a man of my word. I guess I'll go up for you. But yeah, so Facebook Marketplace is huge. And generally, what happens is you'll open your phone, and the biggest and best deals, in my opinion, I've done this thousands and thousands of times in all reselling categories, it'll just be in front of your face, like magic. I mean, so I save all my searches, so they're frequently saved, and I always type in and look for things. But every time I almost ever get a good Facebook Marketplace, it's just picking up the phone, going to the market, and it's like, I don't know, you know, these phones do listen. I mean, that's proven, they listen to you. But it's somehow the algorithm works really great. So right now, Littlest Pet Shop is really hot. G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, and that's usually what happens. I pick up my phone, and the best of the best price and deal is right there. But a lot of times, if I'm 30 minutes late, I'll message the person and I get that response, pending, sold, someone here to beat me to it. Flea market, incredible as well for toys. We talk about this in the other group a lot as well. You get a lot of like weekend warriors or people who are either down on their luck or they're moving or they're like, we just got to get rid of this crap. Those people are going to not research a ton or price it. They're just, we're moving this stuff everywhere. Let's just bomb it at the flea market. And you can get some really incredible deals from vendors that are not consistently there. You know, they're there for one time the whole year, and you catch them there with their giant tub of Ninja Turtles, and you say, how about $100 for everything? You know, or there's like vendors. I have a vendor that I built a relationship with. I have a couple of them, but one primarily that sources all week at the thrift stores. That's what they do. They buy those bags for $3.99, and then they dump it on the table and they say $2 a figure. And that's their business model. All the action figures go over here. These are two to three. All the little tiny little people are a buck a piece. And they make an incredible amount of money going to thrifts all week, organizing it nicely at the thrift store, and marking it up. But there's still enough margin for me. Same topic we talk about with in the other group as well, is just, you don't beat people up a lot if you want to build a relationship. There's a guy that has some sort of action figure you like and he says five and you're very profitable at five, don't ask him for it for four or three. Just buy it. That always rubs people wrong. I mean, there's no way it. Maybe if you're going to buy 100 items, then you can say, hey, if I buy 100 action figures, would you throw me a little deal? That doesn't annoy people. But when they hold up one item and you're already beating them down. So I had built a relationship with them by just not being a pain in the butt, just paying what they asked and showing up all the time. The more and more I showed up, it's a lady and a husband and a wife, they started to remember what I was buying. And I would be looking at the tables, and the lady would just come with a bag. Boom, it'd be full of like G.I. Joe. She just handed it to me, which was raw. It was raw from the thrift store. She had got it, never made its way to the table. She just handed it off to me. That evolved and evolved and evolved to where now I get there in the morning and I unload their van. The back door opens. I pull all the toys out that they sourced all week. I throw them all under a table. I cover them with a sheet because there's like vultures and people behind me trying to dig in there. And I go through each bag, raw bag. The only difference is they pulled the price tag off of it. So I know they got the bag for $3.99, but I don't mind because I see a $45 Spider-Man in there and they're going to charge me $2 or $3 for it. So that's takes a while to build those relationships, but I have that one set like a. Like it's a steel trap. I mean, if it's snowing, they'll say, come over to the house. And I'll go to the house. And people do not enjoy me very much because I'm taking all the good stuff first. But yeah. So anyway, I don't want to keep chatting. Maybe you have more questions or.
No, this is great. This is great knowledge. But I do have a question for you. Is a while back we had a lady on, her name was Sabrina. She talked about Barbies. And what I found really fascinating when she was on, there are different types of Barbie sellers, either from the hair, the accessories, to the actual figures, to complete in box, to just loose figs. Can you talk about the toy category as a whole? You kind of went over it a little bit with like plush and stuff. How many different cat subcategories of toys are there for people to dive into?
It's massive and
Right.
it can be really detrimental. We talk about this a lot in the toy call because of the diversity of toys. I mean, you could have like a Disney Pixar car that's 3 inches long, and then you could have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Technodrome, which is, it needs to ship in a 20 by 20 by 20 box. And it's worth $32 stripped, or it's worth $300 with all the parts, and that's just a rough exaggeration. But the complexity is like so extreme, so many directions. It's really hard to narrow it down within the niche. And you can do stuff like that. You can gear yourself towards plush, where you're like, I'm just not touching anything with pieces and parts. Barbies, you can be like, I'm not even going to dress these girls and the shoes and all that. I'm just going to run it as an auction. It's so incredibly complex from the shipping because you're going from little tiny things to huge. And then the processing is massive. And that's a topic we often discuss. Like, you don't just get the Technodrome and the bag of all the weapons and accessories to it and just list it. You might have 45 minutes to figure out, okay, this. Gun goes here and this missile attaches here. I know it's missing the decal here. And these can just destroy toy sellers. Toy sellers is a great selling toys is a great way to like build up a death pile if you're not careful. Also, you're getting this toy bag and you're going to get excited. Ooh, this one's worth 45. All those other little trinkets are worth a buck or two. And those start building up. So you have to have processes for everything to get this stuff processed, or you need to learn how to say no and be like, I only deal with like these five categories of toys. But man, the diversity is just
Right. I mean,
you
I'm
know
looking at your back wall. There's all
yeah.
different shapes and sizes back there too.
Yeah, I mean you're looking at like plush. I mean the Ninja Turtle van is going to be something that needs five or six different pieces and the value is going to go up 30, 40 bucks if you have those, or it's not going to have the value. Yeah, it's unreal the amount of diversity, but it can be done. You just have to be aware of it. And we get a lot of people like, in the other group that are like, oh, I got this huge lot of G.I. Joes, just seemed like a deal. And now you have like a span of 9 years of G.I. Joes. And then you've got a pile of 132 weapons, each the size of a grain of rice. And, Cobra Commander or whatever is $9. With the gun in the backpack, he's $42. And you have to meld these two together. Then you have to meld them correctly. Otherwise, you're going to get an angry customer because they're like, hey, this is the 1984 version gun. You gave me the wrong gun. And the ad said it was the, So it can get incredibly complex. There are a ton of resources, though, which I guess go that direction for this stuff. There's like YoJo and all these websites will literally help you get there. But these are the things you have to be ready. If you come home with 100 G.I. Joes and 100 weapons and vehicles, that's not getting listed in 5 minutes. You need 6 hours, 4 hours to do it right. Or you can pile it on the table and make it all presentable and clearly seen and run it as an auction. If it's a high demand item, you'll do great. But yeah, you're so many different directions of processing with toys. And you start to learn, like, I'm never buying Kinects again, or I'm never buying this ever again. Or you really like it. I don't buy Transformers, which is a massively popular category. I hate them. My brain does not transform Transformers well. I'm really impatient. I'll buy some of the G1 vintage because they're like high dollar, but there's plenty of modern ones. But it could be missing the tiniest little shoulder pad piece, elbow piece. The guy who's buying it knows what it's supposed to look like. I don't. I'm fumbling with it here. But I have other toy sellers who just boom, 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 boom. They build them like a Rubik's Cube, like they're good at it. So I have certain things in my category I just skip over. And people at the flea market, you don't want those Transformers? Nope, go ahead. Because there's a million other things I can sell that my brain works better on and processes quicker. So you need to make those decisions. And it's for me, it's really weird. Like I have a really hard time with Bratz dolls. I have a really great time with Monster High dolls. For some reason, the Bratz dolls, they all have like slight eye variations. They're very hard to ID and get dressed correctly for me. Monster High, incredibly fast, and I get it. So I will literally pass one doll line and take another. And these are just, maybe that's just me, maybe I'm an oddball, but I think as I've gone through it, you start to realize like we all know like a board game. It's probably the last thing to get listed. Oh, this board game's worth all this money, but it's going to take 30 minutes to figure out or more to figure out if each little piece is in there. And that lands in the death pile. So there's a million types of toys that you better be ready to process.
So, is there a certain era of toys that's either really popular or really high profitable? My go-to would think to be 80s toys be the most profitable out there, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, a good question. It does change as time goes on. Big, tall G.I. Joes were probably crushing it on eBay 10 years ago. But as people, I don't know that I've been kind of interested in studying the evolution of age, but at some point, someone turns 30 or 35 or 40, or there's all these different, you see it with like car guys, they're in their 50s or 60s and they're buying the car that they had. And we've seen like trends in cars change and trends in toys. I would say right now, the 80s and 90s is massive. And one way to learn about toys is just to go to Target or Walmart and walk the aisles and see what's out there. And you'll see Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, all this stuff being remade. They're making almost every single Ninja Turtle practically that was made in the 80s is in Walmart right now, which you also have to be careful about. There's a new version now, same exact toy, the date is different. I can tell the plastic difference by looking, but you could get caught up if you're like, oh, a bunch of vintage Ninja Turtles, and they're all $9.99 right now at Walmart, brand new, with all the weapons.
Do you think that's attributed to like media, like with movie, they're remaking the movies, like new Ghostbusters, new G.I. Joes? Does the movie industry impact the toy industry on a massive scale?
I think it does, and I think that is always it's always been kind of a scheme, I think, of the movie industry in a way. Not really a scheme, but they knew Garfield was always popular or whatever. So we could just it made money once, make it again. And that's why these they keep, I don't want to say they're not creative, but they've seen all these properties do incredibly well. So they have to just keep everything's been out. Pink Panther and Garfield and just over and over again. Yeah, so toys see that same cycle for sure. And then eventually, Ninja Turtles will be like the tall 12-inch G.I. Joes or like Depression Glass. Depression Glass or all these things that like were super hot, they're done. Like you can't sell a piece of this whatever pottery or glass 10 years ago. So you have to really be up on the trends. I'd say 80s and 90s is very safe for now. We'll see how the impact is of all the modern reproductions of those, if it really affects it. I still feel like most of my buyers are wanting like the old original Stink Bug from Ninja Turtles with his weapons, even though you can get him at Walmart. Looks exactly the same. Exact same way. I mean, but if you feel it or you look, you can tell it's modern to an extent. But I don't think that will hurt it. I think it's kind of recharging it. And they're not making every figure, so that kind of helps. But a lot of my business is modern stuff, stuff that gets lost. And the biggest way I should expand into this, I win, is not being the G.I. Joe guy, the Ninja Turtle guy, the He-Man guy. Because when I'm at the flea market digging, there's always a guy over my head behind me, and he's got three items in mind: G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, He-Man. He knows nothing about Paw Patrol. He knows nothing about Peppa the Pig. He knows nothing about, I don't know, another modern line that was on Netflix 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. The biggest bolo I always talk about in the, I even hate to share it, but why not share the love, is the Peppa Pig potato guy. He's like $40 with his hat. But it's a plastic toy from 5, 10 years ago or whatever. Peppa Pig's still airing right now. And in the toy category, $40 is pretty good, 30, $40, because your buy cost is like a quarter, 50 cents, a buck. But that one potato, he has to have his hat. The hat falls off. He's got to have the hat. He's only like 20 without the hat, but it's like a $40 figure. I've sold like 9 times. And every single He-Man guy and Ninja Turtle guy and vintage guy, never looking for Peppa Pig. It just doesn't register. So when I buy, my toys are from 1975 to 2024. And I know all of these other lines, and that's how I'm able to kind of kill it, come home with hundreds of items from the flea market of all years, and catch people slipping because all their, and I catch the vendor slipping. Vendors are smart enough, even if they don't know a ton, to be like, this is like a 1980s something. Let me Google it. Let me look it up. And now, like, it's a He-Man that's worth $9, but they looked it up. They still think it's worth $25 because that's what vendors do sometimes. And you're when you hold up the little Peppa Pig guy, they're like, oh, give me a quarter for that. Give me a buck for that. Ninja Turtle, give me 20 for that. I mean, they'll almost like a vintage Ninja Turtle. I get guys at the flea market saying, oh, $10 a piece. I'm like, they're $5 a piece on eBay. Unless you get all the weapons and get them complete, then we start seeing the price. But that's a huge advantage I have. And I would encourage anyone who wants to sell toys to learn the new stuff. But
I'm curious because I'm in thrift stores. Probably 90% of the stuff I source comes from thrift stores. So I'm gonna throw some things out there that I see in a lot of thrift stores that maybe resellers think are worth it, or if they're not worth it. So this is not set in proof. I just want your opinion on these different brands or these different types of items. Funko Pops. You mess around with that? Is that market dead and gone? What do you think on Funko Pops? Because they are out in thrift stores, and I'll tell you right now, Goodwill will charge more than probably Funko charges retail price for some of these things.
Excellent question. I just sold a Funko Pop for $70, I think, with a damaged box. It was from the Inside Out movie. The character was called Sadness. Inside Out 2 is airing right now. It just started airing about a week ago. Funko Pop, what I do with Funko Pop, eBay has the barcode scanner, which is terribly, like, I don't know why they, I love eBay, so I'm not an eBay complainer, but it's really slow. Like, you hit barcode, it's like, hello, and then it like takes a minute to engage. Once it engages, it's a really great tool for Funko Pop. So I was at the flea market yesterday. I scanned 30 Funko Pops and bought zero. My vendor just prices them all at like 10, 10, 10, 10. So when there's one that's 80, I'm paying 10 and I'm selling it for 80. And that's what you need to do at Goodwill. You got to scan everyone. And if they're always putting their Funkos at 10, 15, 20, yeah, you're going to buy one out of 70. So Funko is still good. A lot of people slip on loose Funko. I sell a ton of loose Funko. Now we're talking $12 price, but up to $50 price. Totally out of the box. Just a rare figure. Typically, if it's selling for like 40 or 50 in the box mint, it'd be like 110. But there's these high demand characters, just like the Inside Out one I scanned. Not this week, but last week is when I got it. It sold within a day or two. So yeah, use the barcode app is my personal recommendation on eBay. If you're an eBay seller for Amazon, I can't totally help you with that, but you just, like anything, look it up. But yeah, Funko Pop, great question.
Beanie Babies, Beanie Babies, Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies, I don't touch them. I
Come
do not
on, dude. I sold Beanie Babies probably about a year ago.
touch
I sold the three chipmunks from Alvin and the Chipmunks. I paid
Yeah.
like 99 cents a piece, and the set sold for $50. I'm not saying I'm going to put out a Beanie Baby course, but there is a chance. I have sold them, and I've made some money.
I'm an optimist, so I agree with you. I put them in the Transformers category for me. There's a lot of complexity and misguided sellers with Beanie Babies, so it's really hard to navigate the correct solds. We all know, like, the Princess Diana, and we see these Beanie Babies where, like, error code, it has an error. It's the but I could see like I'll buy Tie, which is like the Tie brand, TY, which is the Beanie Baby brand. I just bought like a Energizer Bunny, excuse me, Tie. So it's kind of like a Beanie Baby, but it was like a buck, and it's not a high seller, but it's just such a prominent character.
What about Nerf?
What'd you say?
Nerf. I see Nerf guns in every thrift
Oh,
store.
I don't mess with Nerf either. You're right, it's everywhere. There are like two guns, maybe three. There's a couple guns. There's one big gun that's really expensive, but you have to have all the parts to it. Beanie Baby's just hard to navigate, so I want to stay on that for one more second, and then I'll go to Nerf. But I'm like, all things are possible. I'm an optimist. I really think you could learn the Beanie Baby category and run a pretty good business. But it's just very, the depth of that one category is so, it's really hard for me to navigate that my time is better spent elsewhere. But I could see like a Disney character or certain ones. The biggest advice, which is not really that exciting, is the high to low search. And this is how I think every single toy should be approached when you're in your learning stages. For Nerf, just go high to low. And you're going to see lot after lot after lot. Those are going to be all the high ones where someone has like 32 guns. But scroll down enough, excuse me, and you'll see that gun I was mentioning. I can't remember the name. That's 250 or 300. Then you mark that in your brain or write a little note and be like, these two Nerf guns, the red one with the yellow and this one, I will look for those at the thrift store. So that way, you know, every thrift store in the world has like 40 Nerf guns, but you're just looking for those two. But again,
McDonald's toys. McDonald's toys. I'm gonna keep you moving here because I got a lot. Because in my alternate life, I was a toy seller. So, McDonald's toys, they're everywhere. Are any of them worth any damn money? Because they're all in those little plastic bags you can't barely see into. What's the deal?
Completeness helps a lot of those. You got to separate yourself. So if it's like Toy Story and you have all six, you can get like $22.99 or $24.99 or $14.99. Not a category I mess with much. I was at the flea market yesterday. There was a giant bag of them. I kind of peered through it a little bit and I put it aside. And that's generally my process. There are some trends that happen. With McDonald's toys, yes, I will buy the hamburgers and the dinosaurs that transform. That 80s, 90s vintage era of the transformables, I think they call them, or exchange, I forgot what they call them. There are some of that, the nuggets, so the chicken nuggets that are old. They re-released those recently. I can't remember the artist collab. But the old nuggets and a few of the vintage are doing pretty good, like the 80s ones. But there are people who become like Beanie Baby experts. There are people that get real deep in McDonald's, and you could probably find a couple that will do well if you have like all 20 of them, all 10 of them. I think my research is correct, but far as I know, you would think like Mattel or Hasbro would be the largest toy producer in the world. My understanding is McDonald's is. When I did some research, that McDonald's makes more toys than any other toy company, and they are a burger company. But so that gives, leads back to what you're saying. They're everywhere. So you don't get that the supply demand pull. It's everywhere, it's plentiful. And they're typically not known for being like really all that quality. You're going to get a figure, it's made cheaply, it's made just for a kid, and it's not articulated. So I would say for me, 99% of the time, it is a pass. Outside, I will always pick up, you know what I'm talking about? Remember the little hamburgers and stuff, the French fries. Those will sell all day long. You get six, seven of those, you're going to get $20, $25, anywhere in that range. If you get a nice little set, trying
What
to
about
think.
board games? What about board games? Put me on a board game you would buy every single time you've seen it, because there's lots of them in thrift stores. I know you hate, seeing if all the pieces are there, but is there like some board games that are like really worth it? Like Mousetrap, right? I remember playing Mousetrap growing up. It's got all those damn pieces inside of it. But like, is there any like bolos that we all should know about that are not really produced heavily? So if we see it, we know we're buying it.
This the there's a whole bunch, and that we did some calls in the past, and again, it's not something I buy very often due to the complexity of processing and not being quick. Once you try to get to putting 30 items up a day on eBay, those things can really throw a wrench. The McDonald's, or not McDonald's, the Monopoly, I think it's a 70th anniversary cabinet game. It's wood. Really identifiable. It's like this thick, and it has drawers that pull out that are wood, so it's almost like a cabinet. That's a good one, but you have to be prepared to ship it. It's really heavy, but I don't know what that one's going for, 150 or so, or 200. I think it's called the Monopoly. Pretty sure it's 70. You can just type in like Monopoly cabinet or dress wood edition. You'll get that. What's the other one? Is it Fireball Island? There's several. There are a great ton if you want to really, because I'm not educating everybody here perfectly, but if you just go on YouTube and you type in like top 20 board games for resale, there's a lot of guys who've done great videos on them. But if I'm at a thrift store, my focus is so little in that section just due to processing and then it not being all there, the time it takes to find someone and say, hey, can I open it up? And you're in the thrift store for 40 minutes counting pieces with people around you, or you're gambling and just taking it home because it's sealed, taped shut with the Goodwill tape. Mall Madness is a good one. That's that, like, a lot of the girls like that one where it would talk and it would have, like, you were cruising around the mall. There's at least 30 incredible bolos, though. So
What
I'll
about Furbies? Furbies worth anything?
Furbies are great. Furbies are great. You have to be a little bit aware of corrosion issues, and it's kind of like selling a VCR. You get a lot of user error. Why is this not working? Or
They could be possessed. Some of those things are possessed as well.
they can be.
All right. So now I got to pick on your eBay. If you do eBay, I ask all the eBay sellers this question. You got to put it out there. Promoted listings. Are they necessary? Do you use them?
I promote everything. Yeah, I run promote, not the new whatever promotion they have, but the basic promotion standard, I think they call it. I promote everything. I've promoted things as high as 10%. But now I personally go much lower than 10% now. And I do fine, but I promote every single item. Yeah. So I
What's
might do, Mike, go ahead.
your holy grail toy? Like, if you wanted to find one toy out in the wild, like, what's you got to have some kind of list here of something on your
Yeah,
mind.
your bucket list, you just want to touch it one time.
I have not found Scratch the Cat yet from the Ninja Turtles. And that's probably the first one that really comes to mind. Scratch the Cat is, it's been a while since I've looked, several hundred dollars if he's complete. And basically, for anyone that wants that bolo, it's basically a cat like in a prison striped uniform. Was just, I think, a tail end release with Ninja Turtles, so it they didn't make quite as many. But that one stands out. Scratch the Cat, look that one up. That one's
Would you sell it or keep it?
I'd sell everything. I ain't keeping it.
Well, we need to know what is like the one toy. All right, well, what's the one toy you would keep if you came across
You're
it in the
going into the
wild?
Michael vault, never to see the light of day.
Yes.
You only open it once in a blue moon.
I don't know
Yes.
if I would keep anything right now. I'm in such a growth mode with my business that I had some stuff that I built up. I got to be honest, and it wasn't that long ago. You had showed that before the call, that little gizmo guy. I was kind of tucking away, not to the level. There's a few people in the toy group. These guys are like, they're toy guys where you kind of got to be like, are you selling anything or are you just collecting everything? But no, most of my guys are selling, but they do keep stuff. But for me, I like I said, I heard another one of your podcasts. I think it was the one you did with Hanley, where you were like, I don't care about books. I'm
Money.
kind of that way with toys. I'm just lucky enough that I think they're cool, easy to list, and I'd much rather list them than a coffee cup or a pair of pants. So, yeah, I was an 80s kid and I had Ninja Turtles and I liked toys when I grew up. I mean, I did like toys and I think they're really cool, but there, I can't even think of anything I would keep because for me, 500 bucks is 500 bucks right now. So, even if
Not even the table long 6-inch GI Joe battleship thing.
it's the USS flag.
Yeah, that thing.
Flag is cool. I'm not crazy G.I. Joe guy, but the flag is awesome and it's incredibly valuable too. It'd be up for sale.
All
The
right.
only reason I would keep something, and I'm sorry to be party pooper, but I'm selling everything, man. I'm selling everything.
He's in it for the money. I love it.
I'll look at it for like a week and be like, this is awesome, but it's going up for sale. So yeah, like, but Scratch the Cat would be probably the one that I would get and be like, hold it and admire it for quite a while, and then I'd be listing it. But I will say this, as I built up that little pile and I was kind of organized, this little, I mean, it was like 40 items that were just kind of like the gizmo, like, oh, this is from when I was a kid. And but one day I came in the office and they were displayed all beautiful. And he said, you know what? I'm just listing this crap. I said, you know what? When I'm wealthy someday and I've created generational wealth for my family and I've got a load of money, you know, if God willing, if all that we can make that happen, I will rebuy this stuff and I'll have a little man cave and I'll have my little Ninja Turtles here and my little couch and I'll be chilling down there looking at the stuff. But when you're in grow mode and you got a family and bills, like Tech says, the bills come every day, just not in a spot to be like, I get to enjoy it. That's what's cool about this. I get to be like, wow, this thing is incredible. And I'll send like a picture to Lee in our group or something, or Eduardo or somebody, and be like, dude, this thing's amazing. But it's getting listed. So it's just a perk to selling toys. So good
So
question.
let's talk about the money. As a toy seller, and let's just say you're 2 years in the game. In 2 years in the game, how much can a typical toy seller who's actually serious, is doing it full time, how much could they expect to make in the industry? In a range value. You can
Oh,
say
I mean,
100,000, less than.
oh yeah, you could easily have 100. You could have $100,000 profit very easy. You know, I've exceeded over 100,000 in eBay sales without, you know, having basically a full-time kiddo around. My wife works full-time. So I'm full-time dad and then doing it every second I can. But yeah, no, we've got sellers in the group. exceeding 200,000, 250,000. We got people that are approaching gross, approaching 300, 350,000 just within our little group. The same, you know, like a media seller or a clothing seller, the potential is exactly, I think, equal. It's just,
Right.
it's all you know. It's all the person themselves. And just making sure you can source the stuff. You know, you have to find, you know, it's another techism, but what's in your area? You know, what's easy to find? What can you? So yeah, there's, and then you've got companies like Wheeljack's Lab that are massive, and they're probably doing, I don't know what they're doing, but maybe they're doing 700,000 a year gross. Maybe they're doing 1 million gross. There's stores that, you know,
They're doing zero because they have a gigantic overhead.
yeah, well, you never know. You can't, it's hard
Right.
to, yeah, I mean, gross profit, it all, you never know. But I think you could very much have do a 500,000 a year on toys gross, no problem, no
Nice.
problem, no problem at all.
Now, what
And
kind
at
of
least,
size store does a toy seller need? Like, what's a good starting point for a toy seller's store on eBay? Less than a thousand, more than a thousand?
I don't know. We see sellers that like crush it with 1,500 item stores. There's just the stuff's turning. We see stores that are 10,000 items that have a slower sell through, but they have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you could start making a couple hundred bucks a week with toys very fast, and you don't need a ton of items. I mean, there's plenty of items regularly that I pick up at the toy store that are $2, $3 and sell for 40, 50. So you only need to find a couple of those a day to get going. So if you're just starting out, but yeah, I don't know if there's an ideal size. I know a lot of guys who have like 2,000 item stores, 2,500 item stores that are doing, someone in our group, I know, I don't know the exact stats, but he probably sits around 2,500 items. And I think he's on track to do over 300,000 gross with a 2,500 item store, and running probably kind of like me. I run kind of like a, my stuff's always selling. So if I put 30 up a day, 30 go out. And that's how a lot of these guys that have like a 2,500 item store, 30 are going up, 30 are going out, and there's not, store's not really growing, but they're still producing upwards of like 300 grand.
What about best offers?
Yep, a lot, again, a lot of times I do follow a lot, you know, Tech's a big mentor of mine. And I think, and tech or not, if eBay's telling you or providing these tools, I think the more that we can use those, there's a reason why eBay has created it. And I think the algorithm is going to favor listings. It's just my theory that have a best offer. I was recently invited into the Advanced Seller Program or whatever it's called. Yeah. A lot of people were like, that's just a game by eBay to like sell your promotions. So far, it really has not been. They have, I can't get the list from the lady. I tried to get the list because she keeps talking about the 28 or however many points to be optimized on eBay. And because I was doing buyer groups, because I was doing newsletters, because I was doing markdown sales, because I was doing best offer, because I was doing 60-day returns, all of these things, from what I'm understanding, with a, I'm having a Zoom call every week for I think 6 weeks with an eBay rep. Because I, that was like a techism, is do all the things all the time. You know, tech always said like, I'll pay 10% promoted to earn an extra $1 million in sales, you know, like, so I think it makes sense that if the tools are there, they're gonna benefit the algorithm and allow the customer. Maybe a customer's on the fence, and man, I really would love to do that for 80, but and you're at 95 and you don't have best offer on. But good question. With best offer, I think you can pull it off some listings. Occasionally I'll play the game where a few items I'll put up and I'll be like, this thing's worth 100. There's four of them in the market. You know, I'm priced a little bit lower than the other couple guys. I'm just turning off best offer. One change I've been doing on some of my lower priced items, let's say it's like a Briar horse and it's $12.99 or $10.99. let's say everyone in the market's at $13.99 and I come in at $10.99 or $11, I'm beating the entire market. Occasionally on those, I'll turn off best offer on really low priced items because I'll beat the market already. So I'm like, they should choose me. I have an active 15%, 15 to 25% coupon 24/7. So if I'm $10.99, $11.99, the highest per the other people are $13.99. I've got my coupon they can use. I'll turn the best offer off. So I have been experimenting on lower stuff because you'll get killed. You know, if it's $7.99, all of a sudden your offers come in. So I think if you're going to turn best offer off, you should be very priced to sell then.
The last Zoom meeting you're gonna have with eBay, they're gonna try to sell you a timeshare, I heard. You're gonna be like, well, this is our sixth meeting. Now we got Mike Real going in, and he's gonna buy the eBay timeshare somewhere in the Bahamas.
Yeah, some sort of pyramid scheme thing is coming for sure. But yeah.
I guess we'll wrap it up here. I'll let you give final thoughts on the toy category overall, and you know, if somebody's looking to get into toys, maybe some, I don't know, boost of confidence that this business is possible, it still exists. And yeah, you can have final thoughts here, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal category. Thanks for having me on. I truly appreciate it. I know I'm quite a talker, so hopefully there was some value out of all of my
There was
yapping.
so much value in this call, and I feel like we need to have him on again at some point because he
For
could just buy
sure.
the share.
Yeah, and I don't gotta talk the whole time. I like when people
I
talk about it.
know. It makes our job so much easier when the guest does all the talking. It's great.
Yeah, well, good, good. 'Cause that's yeah, I get going. I got my coffee here and so yeah, toys are you can like I said, I know several people personally that are doing hundreds of thousands gross. And I know them well enough to know they're making a lot of profit on that gross. Toys are plentiful, toys are everywhere. And they a lot of people don't understand the value of them. And the more you can stretch yourself away from the common, like we talked about Ninja Turtles, He-Man, all that stuff that's like really known, you'll do a lot better because people will price the more modern stuff or the stuff they don't know cheaper. So make sure you learn. I see a real big pattern with toy sellers of like they're very narrow focused to like vintage and G.I. Joe and all the stuff that's popping up on YouTube and the YouTube videos, and they're missing all of these like modern lines. But yeah, the category is great. Toys are everywhere. And typically you could have a much better buy cost than a lot of other categories. Maybe not as low as books, guys, but toys is one of the low ones.
Well, we appreciate all your insight today, Mike. And this is Gizmo he was talking about, and Gizmo is pissed off that Mike would sell him for $30. Gizmo, I will never sell you for $30. But I'm the same way with books. I'll sell any single book. If you're interested in more about toys, he hosts a toy call, and of course, Tech and Sports Group. We have a lot of tech and sports. Basically, you know, people that host the calls over there, we have them on the podcast because they're a wealth of knowledge. He's also going to have his Instagram and YouTube link down below. I tried talking him into doing more YouTube. Maybe he will come around to the thought of doing more YouTube. But Mike, thanks for coming on this week's episode, and we'll speak to everybody in next week's episode.
Thank you, Mike and Johnny. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.